Take your Bibles with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. This morning's message, and it really will continue tonight, is a rather deep subject, and it really explains a lot about our generation and our Christian life even. And most, I don't know that I have ever really, especially growing up, I heard so many messages on a lot of things, and it was all good, but I never heard anyone deal with what I'm going to deal with this morning. But it's very important and very misunderstood. There in 1 Peter chapter 3, as we've been going through this chapter, I really skipped a subject in verse 16 on purpose, because when we went through the text down through verse 22 and finished the chapter on Wednesday night, the subject is mentioned again in verse 21. So look at verse 16 of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says this: having a good conscience. You know how rare that is today? Having a good conscience. So much of what is wrong today is a result of people not having a good conscience. As we taught on Wednesday night about, and tried to clear up some of these deep things about Jesus going and preaching unto the spirits in prison in verse 19, and we talked about verse 21, baptism doth also now save us, and that is not water baptism. If you don't understand that, please get the message on Wednesday night. The baptism of the Holy Ghost will save you and put you in the body of Christ, but not water baptism. But as we read verse 21, he says not in the middle of the verse, 1 Peter 3:21, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer, here it is again, of a good conscience toward God. And what I'm looking at today is a good conscience. And I want you to consider this, and we'll go through the Word of God together and ask God to help our hearts. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray you would speak to me and speak to these that hear your Word, and may it not just go through our ears, but make a difference and enter into our hearts and do the work that you intend it to do for the reason that you've sent it. And Lord, please work, and we'll thank you and praise you for that. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The word conscience is only mentioned in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter mentions this word three times in his writings, and they're all in 1 Peter, and they're very close together. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 is the third time. I read both of them in chapter 3, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 19, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering, or harm." He talks about your conscience again. I tell you what, if you've got a good conscience, it's something to thank God for. Because if you don't have a good conscience, you're in very great danger. Matter of fact, his last reference that we read in chapter 3, verse 21, is the last time that the word conscience is mentioned in the Bible. And it really matches the first time, and we'll see that in just a moment. But Peter knew something about having a good conscience. You know, it's not so wrong or so out of place to be a sinner, because all of us are. But it's another thing to be a sinner without a conscience. In other words, we live in a day where nothing bothers anybody anymore. And the reason that people do what they do, and they don't feel bad about it, and they're never guilty about it, and they don't ever make it right, is because they have a problem in their conscience. And Peter did some bad things. I would say denying the Lord three times is a pretty bad thing. And right there, when he needed him most, you know. And right at the time where he's being tried, right before he goes to the cross, and Peter's out there warming himself at the devil's fire, around people that he ought not be around, and cursing, and blaspheming God, and denying that he even knows who Jesus is, denying everything he's been taught. And that's a bad thing. You know what's worse? Doing that and not feeling bad about it. And Peter, though he denied the Lord three times, when the Lord walked by and looked at him, Peter had a good enough conscience to where that bothered him. It bothered him down to the depth of his soul. And he went out and he wept bitterly and he couldn't live with himself and he couldn't get over it, and he repented and he was sorry. And the reason he was sorry is because he had a good conscience when God spoke to him, or he didn't even speak to him, just looked at him. God's looking at people today, and God's speaking at people today about what they have done against him, and it does not bother them at all. And on the contrary wise, when God will give a message from His Word, maybe through a preacher or maybe through some other medium, and bring the Word of God to them, instead of listening to it and say, wow, I need to get this right, I need to do something about it, instead of feeling bad about it, they get angry or they excuse themselves. And all of that scenario, the difference is this person had a good conscience and this person did not. And I want to talk to you about your conscience this morning. And it's not something in a Disneyland movie, you know, the cricket saying, you know, let your conscience be your guide. Well, that's not really a good thing, because you may have a bad one. Look at Titus chapter 1. You know, even lost people have a conscience. Lost people don't have the Spirit of God. Lost people aren't in the family of God. Lost people, if they've never been saved, they do not understand the things of the Word of God, because they're spiritually discerned. But even someone that has never been saved, even if they live on the backside of the desert or in the darkest jungles of Africa, doesn't matter, or somewhere, amen, in Limestone County, and never go to church and never read the Bible and hate preaching and all that, they still have a conscience. Because it's God puts a conscience in every individual. Now, that conscience can go in a very bad direction. Look at it, Titus. But they still have one. You understand? Just because you got a bad conscience doesn't mean you don't have one. Everybody has a conscience. The most heinous sinner that hates God has a conscience. Titus chapter 1, look at this. He says in verse 13, what do you do with people who have a bad conscience? Well, verse 13 says you rebuke them sharply. Because why? Because they are so unsensitive to the things of their sin. That has to be something dramatic to get their attention, because nothing gets their attention. Because they have no conscience, they have no good conscience. Look at verse 15 with me, Titus 1:15. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, we're talking about unbelievers here, is nothing pure, but even their mind and what? Conscience is defiled. So here's someone that is unbelieving. Here's someone that is defiled. But even they have a mind and they have a conscience. But it is defiled. It is a dirty mind. It is a dirty conscience. It is something that has been spoiled. It's still there, but it's defiled. We live in a day of people with defiled consciences. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Seven times in the Bible it describes the conscience in seven different ways. I'm just going to give you five. I've already given you two. There's a good conscience. There's a defiled conscience. In Hebrews chapter 10, you read of an evil conscience. And every individual, before you get saved, you know what you have? You have an evil conscience. You have a conscience that doesn't agree with God all the time. You have a conscience that doesn't look at... You ever heard somebody say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, that's because you have an evil conscience. That's because you don't look at things like God looks at things. And by the way, unsaved people can't, okay? Let me get this straight with you. A lost person cannot look at things like God looks at them. Because they have an evil conscience. They have one, but it's not right. It's broken. Many times it's controlled by the devil. They're not letting a good conscience be their guide. They're letting an evil conscience be their guide. Hebrews chapter 10. What do we do about that? Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Watch this now. Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, by the way, that gives you another little fact there. You know where your conscience is? Your conscience is in your heart. But if you're not saved, your conscience is defiled. It's in there, but it's dirty and it's evil. But the good news is that the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has passed into heaven, has made a new way where He not only can clean up what's on the outside of you, but He can clean up what's on the inside of you. He can give you a new conscience. He can give you a clean conscience. How does He do that? He says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What does that mean? Look at chapter 9. It's all leading up to what He's been saying. In Hebrews chapter 9, watch this. He said in Hebrews 9 verse 21, moreover, He sprinkled, you see that? He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. Of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice. He's talking about the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back up at verse 3. Hebrews 9:13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, look at it, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see that? Why do people do what they do? Because their conscience has not been cleansed. Their conscience has not been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. It not only removes our sin from us, if we put faith in that blood, if we come in the way of repentance, but it will purge, we will have a purged conscience. It'll not be evil anymore. It'll not be defiled anymore, but it'll be purged. It'll be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And now I can start thinking the way God wants me to think. And now I can see things the way God wants me to see. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has not only cleansed me, but it's cleansed my conscience. Maybe somebody needs to come to God this morning and say, God, would you please cleanse my conscience through the blood of Jesus Christ? A defiled conscience, an evil conscience, a purged conscience. I want you to go to the first mention of the conscience in the Bible, John chapter 8. We live in a society that is not sensitive to sin. There's no sensitivity to sin. We live in a society that is not, they don't feel guilty of their sin. They boast and brag about it, you know, and put it on social media for everybody to see their nakedness and their wickedness. Even people that go to church. How can you do that? Well, you do that because it's one thing to do those things. It's another thing to do them and not feel bad about them. That's a problem in the conscience. We are witnessing a generation, and I'll just give a cliche to it. They still have one, but We're in a generation of the death of the conscience. And because of that, we're in a generation where there is, listen, where there is no conviction. And the reason there is no conviction is because the consciences of people have died. And so you're not going to tell me that I'm wrong, and I'm not going to feel bad about what I do, and I'm not going to feel bad about how I live, because my conscience is so dirty and so sinful and so defiled that I just can't feel bad about doing anything. That's why a man can leave his wife and kids and go run off and whore around somewhere and not feel bad about it. Because he didn't have a conscience about it. That's why a wife with a little kid that I even tried to counsel the husband decided one day she'd be a lesbian, and she left her Christian husband and Christian and little child and left and never came back and went and moved in with another woman. And she was raised in church. How was that possible? She didn't have her conscience was gone. Didn't care how it affected the child. Didn't care how it affected. You understand what I'm saying? That's why people can lie with impunity and they don't feel bad about it. Why? Because I just don't have a conscience. Lying has come so easy to me that I just don't feel bad about it anymore. That's why people can be unkind and ugly in their homes and never feel bad about it. Because they don't have a sensitive conscience. That's why people can watch dirty things and never feel guilt or shame about it, because their conscience, it's there, but it really is just about dead. Come to church. Hear the preaching, hear it over and over again, understand there's a problem, but it goes in one ear and out the other, and I walk outside just like God never talked to me. Why? Because my conscience, there's something wrong with my conscience. John chapter 8, the first mention of the word conscience in the Bible. I'll probably say something that is controversial here, but it's in the Bible, so you'll just have to deal with God about it. In John chapter 8, you know the story, right? This woman was taken into adultery. She was brought before Jesus. And all these people are accusing her. And the Bible says that Jesus, he stooped down, he wrote on the ground, verse 8. And I want you to look at verse 9, because it's very important. The Bible said in John 8, verse 9, "And they which heard it," not this woman, but these people that brought her, because you see, they're wicked. If you take somebody in the very act of adultery, how perverted must you be? And if you brought the woman and not the man, how perverted must you be? And if you have other sins in your closet and you're just trying to trap Jesus because you don't care about sin and you don't care about the woman and you don't care about whose life broke, you just care about your deal and you care about you promoting yourself and you don't appreciate Jesus. And so that's what they've done in bringing this woman. And the Bible says when he wrote on the ground, I have no idea what he wrote on the ground, and nobody else does either. But whatever he wrote on the ground, they heard. Look at verse 9. "And they which heard it." How can you hear something writing on the ground? They heard it. Watch this now. And that's important. They heard it. You know, if you get the place where you can't hear God, no wonder you never feel bad about anything. The sin's not doing all these things. The sin is not hearing God when He talks to you about what you've done. That's the biggest problem. So are these bunch of Pharisees? Well, at least they had a conscience. The Bible says, "And they which heard it," watch it, look at the Bible, "being convicted by their own conscience." You see that? The conscience is the place of conviction. That is the only time in all of the Bible, all 66 books, where the word convicted is used in any form. Convict, conviction, convicted. That's it. That's the only place in the whole Bible. And the Bible says they were convicted by their own conscience. Why are people not convicted today? Because they don't have a conscience to be convicted of. There was a day where conviction was all over the land. There was a day when God's Spirit moved in churches and people, and they talked about conviction falling. And so that morphed into this. We want somebody to be convicted, but this is not scriptural. The cliche has been, they need to be convicted by the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not scriptural. The scripture, no, their conscience has to convict them. You say, where does that idea of the Holy Ghost convicting people come from? It comes from the new Bibles that have changed the verse in the Bible. The Bible speaks of the Holy Ghost and it says, when He's come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And the new Bible's changed that and said He will convict the world. The Holy Spirit doesn't convict anybody. The Holy Spirit reproves people. It's up to you to hear what He says and pass judgment on yourself. You say, why is that important? Well, because God the Holy Ghost, we're not Calvinists. God the Holy Ghost is not going to walk by and say, you, and fall on you in conviction and overpower you and you'll run to the altar. That's not the way it works. The Holy Ghost will come to your heart. He will reprove you. He'll tell you what's wrong with you. He'll point out the things in your life that aren't pleasing to God. He'll point you to Jesus Christ. But it's up to you to have a conscience that hears enough that says, I agree with you. And unless you agree with what the Spirit of God says, you'll never be convicted. That's why Stephen could get up in the power of the Holy Spirit and preach. And the Holy Ghost is pricking their hearts. What is that? That's His reproof. He's sticking them. He's telling them. He's showing them what's wrong with them. But how did they respond? They ran on Him and gnashed on Him with their teeth. And they stoned Him to death. Said, oh, if the Spirit of God would just have fallen. He did. But their consciences were so evil and they were so defiled that they killed the man of God and they wouldn't listen to the Spirit of God and they didn't feel guilty. They wouldn't pronounce themselves guilty. Conviction. You know what being convicted is? If you're a convict, if you're convicted in a court of law, the judge says, guilty, right? Why is it that most people don't feel that they are guilty? Because there's something wrong in their conscience that won't agree with God. I'm not guilty. There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with my life. Yeah, I'm not married and I live with somebody else, but, you know, that's okay. I'm a homosexual, but everybody lives how they want to live. Yeah, I'm still a little bit at work, but, you know, what does it matter? Why do people not feel guilty anymore? Yeah, I show my body to other people in the summertime. But I don't feel guilty about it. Well, there's a reason you don't feel guilty about it. Because your conscience is too dirty to feel guilty about it. I drink a little bit. It doesn't bother me. I don't feel guilty about it. That's because your conscience is broken. I watch a little dirty movies, and that's because I don't feel bad about it. That's because your conscience is broken. Or how about if I change that scenario? You know, some Christians, they've not prayed in a week, and they don't feel bad about it. And they hadn't read their Bible through one time. And the last time they picked up their Bible was the last time they came to church. But they don't even feel bad about it. Why? Because the conscience is broken. The conscience is dirty. The conscience is, if you have a good conscience, that conscience is saying, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you pray? Why didn't you get in that Bible? Why weren't you a witness? Why do you keep living your life and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost? Why do you keep doing what you're doing? Doing whatever you want to do instead of doing what Jesus wants you to do. That's what a good conscience tells us. But we live in a day where people's conscience is broke. So there's no conviction. And there's no guilt or shame for doing wrong. You know where that stops? It doesn't. It goes to the end of all things. A man that has a broken conscience, or a woman, or a person who has a broken conscience, is capable of anything. Because, look, you say, preacher, how in the world can these people cut people's heads off? How in the world can they kill children? How in the world can they go in the workplace and shoot four or five people dead that they don't even know, maybe? How is that possible? Have you not thought that? How can somebody be that warped? Because their conscience is broken. Just like some of your consciences are broken. You say, well, I would never. You don't know how far you'll go if you keep going down that road with a broken conscience. You better bring your conscience and your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, would you please sprinkle it with the blood of Jesus Christ and cleanse my heart and cleanse my conscience? Because you are capable of anything if you don't have a good conscience. Having a good conscience, Peter says, I tell you what, you need it. I messed up, but I had enough sense to come back to God. Look at John chapter 1. You're in chapter 9. Look at chapter 1. And as you're turning, Hebrews 10:2, I didn't read it to you, but our conscience is the place that tells us about our sins. Hebrews 10:2 talks about the conscience of sins. You know, you hear today, you say, why are all these people doing all these things? Why doesn't anybody feel bad about this? All this stuff going on. Because they don't have a conscience of sins. Look, even lost people 100 years ago felt bad about being a town drunk. Even lost people 75 years ago wouldn't walk out on their family. And the difference is those lost people had a conscience that was not totally destroyed like it is today. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 9, that was the true light, watch it now, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that comes into the world has a light on the inside. And it's the conscience that God put there. To tell them what is right and what is wrong. Go to Romans chapter 2. I'm not going to get Romans chapter 1, but Romans chapter 1 leads into Romans chapter 2. I want you to look at it. It's so important, guys. Romans chapter 2. Everybody has a conscience. And you've got a conscience. But here's the problem. Sometimes your conscience lets you know something's wrong in your life and you ignore it. And that is so dangerous. Because every time you ignore it, it's a little easier to ignore. Like this morning, I may not have mentioned the thing you're guilty of this morning. You know what's the truth? Look, guys, can we all not all be honest with each other? We're all guilty of something, right? Come on, really. Have you confessed your sins today? I mean, I got on my face before God this morning, tried to confess mine. Amen. There's something in all of us that is worthy of going to God and repenting of and confessing. But some people never see the need for that. You know why? Because they have ignored their conscience so long, and they've ignored the Word of God so long, and they've ignored the Holy Ghost so long, reproving their heart, that they can't even hear it. And so when a preacher gets up and says something about it, it's almost like, bang! Who hit me in the face and why? The truth is, if I was preaching 100 years ago, I would be a mild preacher.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, this country was built on men telling the truth. But it was a society that would listen to the truth. And even if it's against me, well, it's still true. But no longer. Because I don't see anything wrong with it. You don't see anything wrong with it. You know, I'm sure a Muslim don't see anything wrong with cutting a baby's head off either. Just saying. Romans chapter 2. This is so important. The Bible says in verse 11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." He puts a conscience in everybody. He puts a light of truth in every man's heart to understand what is good and what is evil. Romans 2:12. Watch it now. "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." Would you please look at verse 15? "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts," their what? Conscience. "Also bearing witness." He said, it doesn't matter if they're out in the jungle of Papua New Guinea. It doesn't matter if they're in Zambia, Africa. It doesn't matter how they were raised. It doesn't matter if they had a life of sin around them. In every man, God is no respected person. And He puts a conscience in every man. And He puts a light in every man to know, hey, this isn't right. How is it that a tribe that has never heard the gospel and had never had a Bible and never had a preacher, but they know it's wrong to kill their neighbor? They didn't see that on TV and they didn't have a law to come tell them, but in the depth of their heart, they knew it was wrong. How did Adam and Eve know it was wrong to be naked in the garden? They were naked before. But they were clothed with light or with something. I don't know. But how did they know? God didn't come down and say, you guys are naked. Now, wait a minute. Wait, just stop just a minute before your mind goes in the wrong direction. Adam and Eve are the only two people in the world. And they're married. Come on now. So this is the whole wide world with just me and my wife. Well, why can't I be naked? Come on now, I'm not trying to give you something to upset the apple cart. I'm just saying there's nobody there. So why do they feel bad about it? Why do they try to cover up? Because when God started walking their way, they said, man, I feel bad about this. I got to cover some of this up. Why'd they feel that way? God never came to them and said, you know what God said when He came to them? He said, who told you were naked? Right? He said, God said, where have you guys been? And they said, well, we're hidden in the garden. What were you doing with all the fig leaves? Well, we did it because we're naked. And God says, who told you that? God never came to Adam and Eve and said, thou shalt not be naked. Right? So how did they know it was wrong? They got a lot more sensitivity than the people down at the beach today. Amen. Just saying. Yeah. How'd they know it was wrong? They didn't have a Bible verse. They didn't have a Bible. God never told them that. There's a conscience in here. It says what you did was wrong. And you ought to be embarrassed about that. You ought to feel guilty about that. Look at our verse. Not through with it. Verse 15. Do you feel guilty about anything? When's the last time you really felt guilty about something? To the point that you actually did something about it. Here's the problem. Verse 15. You know why it's quiet? See, I don't have to scream to get this message across. Because every one of you have got a conscience that's worked on you this week about something. And the best thing that could happen this week for you would be to go to God with that conscience and respond to it and respond to God and let Him help you with that thing that you're ignoring. No wonder the Spirit of God can't fall on a people and a land and a church when everybody's so dirty in their consciences and never does anything about it? Look at our verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience. Now, this is what your conscience does, people. Every one of us. Saved or lost, this is what your conscience does. Their conscience also bearing witness. So your conscience bears witness. It has a testimony. Paul says it like this. He says, the testimony of our conscience, 2 Corinthians 1:12. Your conscience testifies. And here it bears witness with the law of God. Here the conscience says, and you know what a testimony is, don't you? I like to testify. I like to say a word. Like these young people that will come up tonight and they'll give a testimony. That they'll say a word about what God did in their heart. You know what your conscience does? Your conscience raises His hand in your heart and in your life and says, can I testify a minute? I know you're doing what you're doing. I know you're saying what you're saying. I know you're going where you're going. I know you're thinking what you're thinking. But can I testify just a minute? The conscience wants to testify and says, hey, I want to tell you something. God's right. God is right. Their conscience also bearing witness. Now, when the conscience bears witness, here's what happens. I'm not trying to get deep on you. I'm trying to get you to respond. Why do people not respond? How many times has somebody come in this church and there's been something that God wanted to correct, but and the word was preached and the answer was given, but somebody didn't get the help because they didn't respond from their conscience to God when He spoke to them. Now watch this. This is what happens with your conscience. Their thoughts, verse 15. The meanwhile, do two things. Accusing or else excusing one another. So, if you have a good conscience, your conscience will agree with God. And if you're guilty, your conscience will accuse you. When the Spirit of God reproves you, your conscience says, yep, He's right. You're wrong. People don't like to be told they're wrong anymore. But God puts something in there to tell you you're wrong, even if you're not saved. He tells you, you need Jesus. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. You're wrong. You're guilty. You need to get to God. You need to come to Christ. And what that Spirit of God saying and what that Word of God saying, what that preacher saying is right. And your conscience, if it's bad or it's good, this is what it'll do. It'll agree with God and accuse you, or it'll give you an excuse. Well, I know it's right for me to commit adultery on my wife, but you don't know my wife. There's the excuse. In the conscience. So they go marry on their way. Well, I know it's not right to tell a lie. Here's the bad conscience. I know it's not right to lie. But you know, every time I tell the truth, it gets me in trouble. And I'm tired of getting in trouble. There's the excuse. Well, I've had a hard day. I know the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I know that the Bible says that, and the preacher's trying to say that. But you know, I've had a hard day. I'm struggling with some things. There's the excuse. If your conscience is broken, this is what it means. This is how you know. Every time God speaks to you, an excuse pops up in your mind. Of why it's okay. I know I ought to be in church. I know I ought to be sold out to God. But you know, somebody mistreated me and somebody did me wrong and this didn't work out the way it was supposed to. Excuse. I know I ought to get right with God, but if I do, man, everybody will think bad of me and I'll be embarrassed. There's the excuse. First Timothy chapter 4, and I've finished this morning. First Timothy chapter 4. How's your conscience today? Peter says, I want you to have a good one. We'll talk more tonight about how to develop that good conscience before God. Where did I hear that? Heard that preacher preach. Who was that preaching that talked about? He said he preached and some boy. I must have been in a conference, man. My brain goes all every which way. He was preaching to the boy. Maybe I told this. The boy was just weeping on the altar, and he went down to the boy, you know, and he said, "What's wrong?" And he thought, you know, the boy, he's about 10 years old. He thought the boy wanted to get saved or something, you know. And he said, "Oh, I've done something real bad." And he just cried and weeping on the altar. He said, "What did you do?" And, of course, today you're saying, "What did he do?" And the boy's just crying and crying. Finally, he gains his composure, and he looked at the preacher, and he said, "I told my brother he was stupid." You know what that is? That's a tender conscience. You say, "Well, that's ridiculous." Yeah, probably. But you know what's even more ridiculous? You sitting right here this morning and not taking care of something you know is not right. And if you don't take care of it, this is the truth that happens. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh." Do you see that? The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, speaketh expressly. He's constantly reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. He's constantly trying to deal with your heart. God's trying to deal with your heart. The Spirit of God's trying to work in our lives. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their" what? Their conscience what? Seared with a hot iron. There's no sensitivity. In other words, the Spirit of God spoke to me, I shut Him down. So the next time I don't hear as well. And the older I get and the longer I go telling the Spirit of God and telling God I'm not going to get this right and I'm not going to respond. See, every time the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and you don't do something about it, it hurts your conscience. Every time. You say, "How did so-and-so get all the way there?" Day by day by day by day, the Spirit spoke. God tried to get their attention and they said, "No, I'm not going to get it right." And they took a step farther. "No, I'm not going to get it right." And then pretty soon, they can't even feel anything. They can't even hear anything because their conscience is seared and it doesn't bother them to be out of the will of God. The desensitizing of the conscience has occurred because people have not listened to the Spirit of God. They continue to do evil. And every time you do evil, it's a knife in your conscience. I'll tell you what else desensitizes the conscience. All these drugs people take, they can't feel anything, including what they did wrong. Now, I'm finished preaching. But why don't you ask God today to help you have a good conscience? And whatever He's spoken to you about, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. Why don't you respond to it so that little by little your conscience isn't destroyed? Stand with me, please. Father, please help us.